It starts out with this. Don't ask me why.
Welcome to Craft Beer Radio. We're here with a brand new beer show, something. We're drinking to nightly Imperial IPAs, just like we did 9 years ago. Will it ever stop, yo? I don't know.
Extra couple syllables in there, but...
Didn't you say... would you say awesome or stupidly awesome?
Horribly awesome.
Horribly awesome. Yeah, one of, like I said, one of those words applies.
Awesome. Can't they both apply? Come on.
No.
Come on. There's horribly awesome.
See, horribly awesome to me is like, the Goat Boy is horribly awesome.
That's not horrible in any way.
No, it's not horrible in any way, but horribly awesome means, you know, it's super awesome.
No, I mean, so bad it's good. No, there's no such thing as so bad it's good?
Well, there is such thing as so bad it's good, but I don't think, but horribly awesome is like, you know, P-H-A-T fat. It's like, to me, it just means, it's just a synonym for incredible.
Super awesome.
Super awesome, right. Yeah.
I meant it as horrible, but still awesome.
You meant it as so bad it's good. I don't, to me, horribly awesome doesn't have that connotation, but maybe
see,
it's just
to me,
horribly
awesome is further extremes, right?
Yeah,
bad and good, mm-hmm. and horrible and awesome are further apart. So I was just being more hyperbolic about it.
Yeah, but like if someone were to say a terrific explosion, right? That's
sure.
That doesn't mean it's awesome. That just means it's huge. Good boy.
All right. So hey.
Hey.
We can gay marry in Pennsylvania now.
Yes, we can. So, does that mean you're getting divorced?
No.
So we can...
No. Sorry. I like pussy.
You can still do pussy. I wouldn't mind.
I don't like assholes. I mean, I don't like men's assholes. Those balls hanging down, that just kills it for me. If you can, like, tuck them away.
Well, I just want, you know, to get... some of your income and live in your house.
Oh, no.
Not to work.
I've said this on the show before that I feel that this whole anti-gay America thing is no different than anti-black America.
Yes.
You know, it's...
I agree with you.
It's really no different. You can throw the Bible at me. And I can say the same Christian churches were anti-black, at right. least in the South, you know, because of they were beasts or something. I don't know.
And let's be fair, there were plenty of churches that were
sure
on, you know, on the right side of history.
But there's churches that are tolerant of gays as well. It's just the wrong side of history. And it really was quite a surprise. I mean, at least from... I listen to NPR a lot, so mm-hmm. I like to think I'm fairly well informed with the political happenings around me.
You're not.
No.
Okay. There's many times when I'm informing you about stories. Sure. So. It's okay. You're busy. I mean, you've got stuff to do. You've got kids to take care of.
I know more than 90% of the populace.
Maybe.
The bottom 90% are pretty fucking stupid.
There you go with your... See, now
I didn't say 99%. I said 90%.
No, but you're still taking a view that I think is a little harsh.
Sure, but that's because we're all friends here. Everyone listening is in the top 10%. okay. 10%? I'm not talking about 1%. Fuck you.
I don't think that 90% of the people are stupid. I think that's ridiculous.
Okay. I'm throwing incendiary bombs out there. I'm just having fun. Mm. I knew that, you know, gay marriage was illegal in Pennsylvania. I mean, the latest news I had known was that my esteemed local representative, Daryl fucking Metcalf, was trying to impeach the attorney general for not fighting against the, you know, not enforcing the gay marriage ban law, right? And, that's why I was so incensed. So he recently was in a primary election against a writing candidate, and the writing candidate only lost by, 220 votes or something.
Ooh,
like that.
That sucks.
Yeah. He was a writing candidate because he didn't do all his paperwork right. He claims that the clerks in the state government told him the wrong information. So it kind of felt like he got screwed out of it. But part of me was like, oh, if I didn't know that he was in this primary battle until after it was too late for me to register as a Republican. Yeah. I'm currently registered as a Libertarian.
Ugh. Why?
Because I haven't changed it.
I'm registered as an independent, not as a Libertarian.
Right.
But it does mean I can't participate in primaries.
Yeah. So as long you need to set in a little reminder, like April 15th every year, on tax day, when you do your taxes, you should figure out if you want to change your registration to Democrat or Republican. So at tax day, you need to figure, this is what I'm going to try to start doing. At tax day, I'm going to figure out the where my primary vote counts more and register as.
See, here's the problem with that. Notion, which I think is a good notion, the idea that you should switch your political affiliation to the primary you most want to influence.
Mm-hmm.
However, almost certainly the primary you most want to influence is not the
best for the party.
It's not the party that you really do support, right?
But none of them are.
None of them are, but...
Right.
You know, you
okay. So in Cranberry,
what I'm saying is, if you switch your thing to Republicans, then Republicans would say, "Look how many more Republicans are on the look how many more Republicans are."
So here's more of the point of view. I live in a community where it's going to be very hard for a Democrat to unseat Daryl Metcalf.
Right.
The write-in candidate for the primary will probably score a higher percentage of votes than the Democrat will here in Cranberry Township.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, because of gerrymandering and things like that, I'm not sure if it's a jury, but gerrymandering. Yeah. This happens in a lot of places, right? Where it's overwhelmingly for that party.
Right.
The party is super safe. And if you have an asshole representing you, like Daryl Metcalf, the only way you have hope of getting him out is registering in his party and trying to vote him out in the primary.
Yeah. Yeah, but
Daryl Metcalf is a God's gun and God guns and I don't know, but the guns thing. I'm gun owner. I don't care about that. But God guns and not gay. Right, that's his thing. And so I'm sure he's steaming about this whole activist judge thing.
Obama's a fake president type guy.
He's a fucking asshole. He tried to impeach our attorney general because she wasn't enforcing the gay marriage ban. But people weren't getting gay married even. So I don't even know what she was failing to enforce.
But what happened recently was there was a judge in Pennsylvania. In fact, the same judge who did the intelligent design.
You mentioned this, but I don't recall exactly. I don't recall. I mean, it sounds familiar, but.
Remember, there was a big intelligent design decision that had huge implications because it was the Discovery Institute, which is the big intelligent design thing, and they were trying to say that they should allow intelligent design to be taught in schools, not just in schools, but in science class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I remember.
And there was a big trial in Dover, and this was the judge, and he basically said, no, this is ridiculous. This is not science. You can't teach this in science class. This is a judge, by the way, appointed, a Republican judge appointed by George W. Bush.
So he's a person with a brain.
Mm-hmm. He's a person with a brain.
And he's not a bigot.
He's not a bigot. And he's not an activist judge. He's a great writer. Read the decision. Read the Dover decision and read the gay marriage decision. They're both fantastically written pieces. They are, they're both readable and interesting and I would totally recommend both of these be written, because this guy mm-hmm. knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing.
And then our governor decided not to appeal. Republican governor mm-hmm. right now. And so, I mean, that's good. He realizes that he's on the wrong side of, you know, his party's on the wrong side.
The culture is changing. And yeah, I get it that 40 years ago, this would have been ridiculous, because the culture wasn't 10 years ago, this was a pipe dream. Well, 5 years ago, it seemed real.
Things have changed a lot in 5 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying 40 years ago, this would have been absurd to the highest degree. 10 years ago, this is, you know, this will happen maybe in 100 years. 5 years ago, it was like, it could happen, but it'll take a long, long time.
We'll be one of the last states is yeah. what my feel yeah. was. Until it happened, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, we're like in like the top 30% of gay married states. It's, I mean, I like I said, I feel that it's a human right and it's not going to destroy the country.
The very idea that it would is, I mean, it. Once you're presented with the facts of the issue and you realize that it's just this ridiculous prejudice that holds up for no other reason than cultural inertia, then there has to be something going on in your mind that either your mind just can't deal with it, which is, I think, what happens with the people who are against it, or you accept it and just move on and say it's not that big a deal, because it's not gonna destroy anything. It's not gonna change anything.
There's the whole dogma thing, right? There's the whole people that, you know, are religious, we've got a supreme, and attached to that is the bullshit that, you know, you shouldn't lie with a man shouldn't lie with a man.
I think, though, that, I mean, there's so much religious bullshit that we don't do anymore. Slavery, mm-hmm. for example, that, you know, It should be easy for someone who's religious to let go of this particular thing, because it's entirely meaningless within the concept mm-hmm. of their religion. It's as with so many things, like wearing different fabrics and not eating shellfish, it's been discarded because mm-hmm. it's silly.
Right.
It doesn't add anything to the religious experience at all.
But
there it create, I understand that it creates a weird kind of collision in people's minds. The first time I saw two men kissing, that was very awkward. I can't deny that. That was not something that I when your mind is presented with something that is like just so completely awkward, you've never seen it before, you're almost flabbergasted by it. You're just kind of, and then you sort of instantly reject it. But it's become now so mainstream mm-hmm. that either you are completely ignoring culture completely, and that's why you're against it, or you I don't know any other way that you could be I don't know how to put it with this much alcohol in me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me very happy that we're to a place where a judge reads the Constitution and says that gay marriage is constitutionally protected. There, it's a human right.
Yeah.
And I've argued this before, gay marriage is no different than interracial marriage.
It's no different than marriage, period. I mean, that's all right, the point.
But people have this lens where they generally accept interracial marriage today,
mm-hmm.
but they can look back and see where it wasn't accepted. So I think it's a good argument, because most people have come to accept interracial marriage, so they can see. I think that makes an argument saying,
I agree with you. I think it's a good argument, but I think the ultimate I mean, it's a good argument against people for people who are against gay marriage, but I think that the ultimate case is really that, you know, that marriage itself is such a culturally I don't know how to put it exactly.
I know what you're saying. I mean, it's just like humans should be able to marry humans, yeah. Right? I mean, but really, this was the last barrier. I mean, shouldn't be any additional barriers after gay marriage, right? I mean, what other combination would still be verboten, right? I mean, I can't think of any. I mean, we start getting the crazy shit where you want to marry your cat or your car.
I could see.
But what other human?
See going to. Polygamy? Relations, yeah, polygamous relationships.
Polyamorous
things. I could see that. And to be honest, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. You know, as long as everyone's going into it knowing what they're dealing with, then, you know.
Maybe that is the next big fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge. Burden that polygamy carries, right?
Yes.
With the compounds and the crazy Mormons and the cults.
You're taking people out of the pool, in a sense. You're taking more people than you should, I guess. Marriage is...
I mean, this is a great point. I love this. I want to explore this, talking about how... Okay, so interracial marriage is okay, gay marriage is okay. Why isn't poly marriage okay?
What marriage is really about is the merging of people as the government looks at them, and from not two separate people, but to one conglomerate, in a sense. So that they have legal rights to do certain things with each other. So that they have power of attorney regarding each other, et cetera, et cetera. That's really what marriage comes down to when legally. I mean, as a religious sacrament, it's different, but in terms of the legally, you know, the part that the government cares about, it's simply about how the government looks at people, whether it's individuals or as a combination. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, tax benefits, and there's all types of stuff that goes on with this for...
And I think everyone would be against the, I'll call it the stereotypical bad polygamist, right? Where you have underage children being forced into a poly marriage, that kind of thing. Everyone would be against that. But if everyone's a consenting adult that wasn't forced, that wasn't brainwashed, brainwashed would be a tricky term too, right? Because what is culture and what is brainwashing, right? Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not allow?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, it will be a fight that will happen at some point. There's no question about it. But I don't see it being. I don't see it as being bad. Now, I can see you marrying your dog being.
What would be bad about it? I mean, it's crazy, right?
No, it's just silly. It's just silly at that point because you're not actually getting any benefit from the government. You're just doing something symbolic at that point. And so, you know, whatever. I don't care. The thing is that marriage has specific legal benefits that you get, like being able to visit your loved one in a hospital, that sort of thing. Being able to make decisions for them if they...
Right. If you own something...
Right.
You have meant much of that benefit, right? So, yeah, it's just symbolic. So, yeah, I guess other combination of human and human, which would be if you legalized all poly marriage, that should pretty much do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you'd have to then start to classify things in different ways. Like maybe could a group of 30 people be married to each other? It becomes kind of weird.
That's a good point, right? Because, okay, so polymarriage is either one man or one woman with a bunch of the other. Or a bunch of the same, right? But, I mean, traditional polygamous or what's the term for one woman and a bunch of men? It's not very common in many cultures, but it exists. It's
I'm not sure, but
what is it? I knew that. I know this.
But the thing is, once you have the idea of multiple people coming together, well, the Supreme Court already said that corporations are people, right? What are corporations but a whole bunch of people? But you know, a group of people that are considered by the government as one particular person with one legal status. So it's a similar thing.
There you go.
Thing.
Just create a. Incorporate when you want to have a polygamous.
Yeah.
We're employees. So I guess there are a few more things to argue out, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I got to use the toilet. All right.
So, yeah, while we were taking our pee break, we talked about this a little bit more. And, you know, Greg made a good point where, you know, poly marriage, especially when you get to be this group of people where it's more than one man or one woman. You know, where it's as little as two men, two women, you know, a four-way or something like that, or bigger, 30-way. It's like business law. Tax filing would have to be reinvented, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you would only file...
Or just turned into a sort of, or you know, incorporated as like a corporate-type structure.
Yeah, but even if you're the entrepreneur, excuse me, entrepreneur that has a business, right, you still have to file personal...
Yes.
Tax returns. So, or you file a tax return for you and your wife and you own a business and you file a business tax return. If you're in a poly marriage thing, you're going to have to file, you would think the way it should work out is you would only file
a single,
group poly tax return, you know, instead of individual.
Yeah, things. I think the difficulties become more numerous when you're dealing with polyamorous relationships as opposed to the difficulties between gay marriage, which is there's no difficulty. You're simply allowing two of the same sex to be in there, and sex is
I mean, so what the one argument is that you and I could marry and be roommates and not ever fuck and get tax advantage
That can happen with men and women, too.
Yeah.
So I don't see why that's
good point.
a big deal, because that already happens.
Good point. No, I hear you. I mean, that's the argument, though, right? So
that's a silly argument.
People gaming the gate, quote-unquote, gaming the system.
Yeah.
Gaying the system. Okay, so that's enough about gay marriage. I'm proud that Pennsylvania didn't fight the judge's ruling, and I guess our next big battle is, well, it'll be liquor privatization, but...
Weed. Weed's going to be next big battle.
Well, that's it. I mean, I was just going to say, it seems like liquor privatization's the easier fight, but I bet you the weed fight comes and is resolved first. The liquor thing is going to be... fucking insane.
There's too much money.
Speaking of today's the 125th anniversary of the Johnstown flood, and we're still
like
paying
said,
fucking
still
taxes
paying,
on that shit.
Okay, speaking of, not really speaking of anything, my car is legal now. It was illegal for a month because I didn't get inspection on it.
Uh-huh.
But it's legal now.
That's good. You can get pulled over or anything like that.
So I would always wait till night to drive, because then it would be easier to not, you know, to not worry about their stickers. But I figured that they would generally give you a month, I think.
I don't know. It seems like they're dicks.
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they can be.
About inspections. It seems like they're not very tolerant from what I've heard. Did your car need work, or are you just lazy?
No. It wasn't a late. It was a money thing. It was
$36 or whatever. Or what's
it's like $70.
That's $70.
Emissions.
Oh, see, you got to move to Butler County, man. No emissions. You can have a smoke spewing piece of shit up here.
I also need an oil change. No, it was, you know, my parents had kind of stopped giving me money until I got something. They thought that I wasn't trying. I don't know what it was that I was trying. I've been trying for months. It's just been difficult, but, you know, they thought that would encourage, you know, and it was just, it was it was shitty to have to go through that. And I asked them for more and they wouldn't give it. But I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever, I'll do. I'll deal. I'll figure out something. So the figure out was, okay, well, I'll just have to drive without getting my car inspected. But as soon as I got the job, they were willing to then lend me money.
Okay.
Again, so that's how they work it. Whatever. They have plenty of money, by the way. Okay. As you've seen. Lego Movie.
Oh, yeah. So you watch the Lego Movie.
Yes.
You're like, Jeff, you have to watch the Lego Movie. And you uploaded it to me on BitTorrent. And I was kind of saving it so the kids could watch it. Because I figured the kids would want to watch it, too. So, like, a week went by. And you're like, come on, Jeff. I have to watch a Lego Movie.
Well, I knew your kids would like it. So, yeah. I thought they would, you know.
So, last Sunday.
But I then got a better version, anyway. Mm-hmm.
We did the good version. Last Sunday, it was Memorial Day weekend. So, a neighbor down over the hill. It's kind of a tradition now. It's been the last two or three years. Memorial Day weekend, they do an outside movie with a, you know, projector and screen and whatnot. And they actually have a 16x9 screen that's PVC pipe and a nice white screen and whatnot. So they weren't sure what movie, and they were like, I brought the Lego Movie down, and that's what they ended up watching. The alternative was Despicable Me 2. Do you like Despicable Me at all?
I haven't seen it.
I've seen one. Well, no, I've seen the first 65 minutes of Despicable Me, and the hair is... I hate it. I think it's horrible. I think it's dumb. I think it's not funny. I know a lot of people will disagree with me. I just hate Despicable Me. I think it's a despicable piece of shit. It's just not good. Despicable is not the right word. It's just a piece of shit that's not good. And I don't get it. It's just not funny, not interesting, not good. Anyway, so I brought it down. I wasn't going to push it, but they took it. So the kids were sitting there, and Max loved it. And Allie was pretty hooked, too. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's a great... It's one of the best movies in forever for kids to enjoy on their level and adults to enjoy on their level. There's so many adult jokes in there.
There's adult jokes. There's an interesting sort of concept switch.
It's a great concept switch. But there's also... For adults, there's a ton. If you were a Lego kid like me, there's a ton of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
There's the spaceman from the 1980s space series that they did. And his name is Benny. He's the blue astronaut. And his helmet, the chin's cracked, right where the molding seam is. And I'm pretty sure at least one of my astronauts had a cracked chin, just like that, cracked on the helmet. And it's so neat because... The whole landscape of the movie is made with Legos, and they're made of Legos that exist. You know, it would have been so much fun, like, designing scenes.
Do you know how they made it? It's fascinating because it's all computer generated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the software they built is that they built everything out of individual software Legos.
Uh-huh.
So everything was created out of brick, out of virtual bricks.
I wonder if they... This would be a great question. I don't think... You probably don't have the answer. I wonder if the animators had to build it brick by brick, or whether they built an outline and they wrote an algorithm to figure out which bricks fit in the outlines.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that would be cool, right? Yeah. Because, like, make this... You know, when they're, like, in the old West town, right? Like, make this hill, right? And it figures out what bricks to make the hillside, you know?
Or the water when they did...
Oh, when I loved how they did liquid. When he was taking the shower.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was little the circle plates. The one circle plate. You know, was falling out.
Like the ships at sea, and there'd be water coming out, and or explosions and lasers.
The fire.
All those things were just. It was so. Spot on for it nailed the visual
Lego to life.
Yeah, exactly. And keeping the entire visual aesthetic at the same time. And a great script. Really a great script.
The only part that was kind of weird is when they did the 2D shots going into Cloud Rainbow Land or whatnot, right? With the clouds and the ship, and kind of it was all 2D, you know? That didn't... You know the scene I'm talking about? like right when they were getting into where Unikitty lived, whatever the cloud place where Unikitty lived, right? And like, you know, it was kind of like flat. It was kind of like on a background, and it was kind of like,
I thought that was, and there was also the scene where the top of the building came off, but I thought that was sort of just kind of,
well, that was neat because the top of the building was a Lego brick, right? It was like a 2x6 brick, right? And you know, you look underneath, you see the giant circles and whatnot. That was like a giant 2x6 brick, which was really neat. But the scenes where they were getting in and out of Cloud Rainbow Land.
Well, I thought it was preparing you for the part where your perspective changes on the thing and you realize that it's...
But that perspective was weird, right? Because that perspective isn't really something you see in Lego, per se. Because it was almost like the Legos laying on their side on a ground piece, you know, like a, you know, you buy one of those big sheets of Lego, right, where you start building up, but it's kind of turned 90 degrees there, you know. It almost seems like they ran out of render time and they had to like kind of take those scenes and step back or something.
The only one I can remember that seems like that is when the block, like I said, when the block came off the top of the building.
Well, okay, so there's two scenes, right? There's the block moving, boop, 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 boop,
yeah.
And then there's the rendered version where it's like this spaceship with the jets and the circles. Yeah, but the boop, 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 that was the same kind of 2D thing that they did.
Right, and I liked that because I thought that was...
Kind of like...
It was pulling you.
It took the child's hand off of the piece of moving.
Yeah, it was pulling you out of the world slightly.
Yeah. Okay. So I like that. Okay. Okay. I hear you. Because later there's the reveal of getting the whole way out of the world. And, okay. You've sold me. I see that as a step. It's just like, why are these scenes an intermediate of more basic animation, right? But it was almost a half realization of the play that the whole movie is. Sorry, spoiler alert. Stop listening. Yes. So you were talking the first week about how your story progression
in
the movie.
Well, I mean, I was saying look at the story for story structure because I think it's a extremely well-structured movie. At the same time, they do play around a little bit with it.
I'm not a student of story structure. Mm-hmm. I don't remember all the steps you told me and how in what order they go in. It seemed like it was kind of yes, the movie was good. It was fun. It was exciting. It was frenetic. But it seemed like those steps were pretty obvious when you hit the different steps of the story structure, right? It was very, they put a spotlight on, you know, this is this step, this is that step.
Yeah.
You know, and the names I don't even recall right now, which you can
run. Well, okay, through, so there's, you know, obviously your introduction to the person, so you're getting involved, and there's crossing the first threshold, which is where he interacts with the piece of the Kraggle and discovers there's a whole new world out there.
Right. When he has the vision, right?
Yeah,
and
he
sees the man upstairs.
Right. And then he is brought into the road of, in the belly of the whale is what that is where you suddenly you're in a whole new world. And then he has the road of trials where he's trying to learn what's going on. This continues in various ways until you get to, it's kind of an important part of really good storytelling, which is that halfway through the movie, roughly, halfway through whatever it is, your hero should essentially get his goal. I mean, what was Emmett's goal? He was to be... His goal was to be special, right? He essentially gets to his goal, but by getting to his goal... By getting to what he thinks is his goal...
He leads Bad Cop to the builders.
He loses... everything.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's kind of what, you know, a good story will have that where the character will seem to make strides and then will seem to get what they want, but it will cause a serious problem, because the reality of the story is they can't actually get what they want without changing. So they need to go through to they get what they want, but they learn some more, but they didn't really change who they were. Right. They get what they want, and then the bad stuff happens, and then they have the atonement with the father. It's like,
well, because there was a great progression where, you know, all the super builders were building the submarine, mm-hmm. but they were not working together. So they right. built a shitty submarine that didn't work, right? And then built this dumbass double decker couch, but it held together, right? So they learned something from Emmett, and then Emmett was in charge and said, you know, you guys have to put aside your personal preferences and right. work together as a team, you know? So that was I don't know. It was a very strong part of the movie, and it was a good moral, good thing to put through. So sorry, spoiler alert.
No, you're right. It's just he hadn't quite reached the atonement with the father really was when he got everything he wanted. Let's see. So the meeting with the goddess, the true meeting with the goddess, I guess, was him sacrificing himself to break the 9-volt battery and to drop out.
Right.
And then his atonement with the father, he turns out to be a literal atonement with the literal father of the kid.
Right.
And then his crossing the return threshold was quite obvious as he goes down into the magic tube again, and then right. he's so the master of both worlds.
The atonement was actually like when he's sitting on the desk, right? And he's like, I gotta move. Right. He jumps off, and the kid distracts the dad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you see when he gets back into the world, all of a sudden, you know, he has Matrix powers. He is the master of both worlds now. Yeah. He understands. He has changed. It's not just, you know, he has changed as a person more than just he's
it was a. It would be neat to kind of see a scene-by-scene comparison of the Lego movie and the Matrix, because, I mean, there was...
There's a lot.
That's
why I say the Matrix is an extremely well-structured movie. Yeah. That's why it's so good. Mm-hmm. It fits all those points. But that part, like I say, that part is so important in a story that you have to get... You have to have the person, you know, in the Matrix is Neo... Neo rescues Morpheus. That's kind of, you know, he does what he needed to do, but it turns out that now he's lost, mm-hmm. and he has to change, and he has to change the way he sees things in order to overcome that. So there's all this, you know, that's so much of a good story is figuring out what that point is, figuring out how to get the character to the point where all hope is lost, mm-hmm. but they make a change and suddenly they see things in a new way. That's the hero. Mm-hmm. That's the monomyth, right. The hero's journey. Mm-hmm. At any rate, there are other ways you can structure stories, but that's the one that resonates so well.
It's a really, really fun movie.
Yeah.
Really good. And there's a, Max, I mean, you knew it was coming, right?
Yes.
But Max loved when the Star Wars guys, you know, the Millennium Falcon pulls up to Metalbeard's pirate ship, and oh, so good, so funny. I think the scene where they showed the Millennium Falcon without hyperdrive,
yeah,
you know, they should have actually used the scene where like Han couldn't get it started, uh-huh. you know, like I forget what that was.
That was
what were they trying to do there? But there was a time where they were really struggling. Yeah. They couldn't get the hyperdrive to go. Instead of, you know, in the scene
was
where...
Was it Hoth? No.
Yeah, it wasn't Hoth. Yeah, yeah. They were working on it, and, yeah. So maybe it wouldn't work as well. But it was really funny to see the big worm come out of the asteroid. Hit the hyper... Oh, and was Billy Dee Williams actually voicing that?
It was Billy Dee Williams. Yeah. It was Anthony Daniels. It was not Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. It was Shaq, voicing Shaq.
Right. It sounded like Billy Dee Williams dead on, right? Hit the hyperdrive, Chewie!
The whole Green Lantern and and Superman thing.
That was funny.
It's an inside joke, sort of, because the directors of the film are Phil Lord, Christopher Miller. Funny guys, done some great stuff. One of the other things they did is 21 Jump Street. I don't know if you've seen
it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's really funny. But that's Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. And so they play...
Oh, okay. Okay. That was really funny watching Green Lantern was trying to hold Superman's jock, basically, and trying to kiss up to him. Oh, man. Yeah, I was wondering whether, you know, some of these licensed materials, you know, these LEGO licensed materials show up, and, you know, a lot of them showed up. They had a Simpsons character. They had Star Wars. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, and it really, I mean, it had an effect on adults watching, too, right? I mean
for me, it was a lot of nostalgia, right? Because, I mean, Benny the Spaceman, right? I had the moon base kit, you know, with the monorail and the rocket and the control center, you know, and just like, you know, when they're at the beginning, when they're doing the construction work, it's like, I need a 2x2 macaroni. Yeah. And I never knew that they called those macaronis. I know the bricks have names for Lego geeks, right? There's bricks and plates and whatnot. But I'm like, you know, just seeing all the real pieces, because I'm not a hardcore Lego geek, but I mean, I have probably 10,000 Lego bricks upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's been great at, you know, collecting these things cheap on, you know, yard sales and eBay and, or not eBay, but Facebook and eBay or Craigslist and shit. So my kids have Legos out the wazoo. And it was just really cool seeing how they built all this stuff.
But I also just like how at the end it became actually affecting to, I mean, to me, I was watching it and I got kind of choked up a bit because it was, you know, it reminded me of my childhood and it reminded me of the kind of you know, I don't have kids, but
there's a little bit of affecting there because, like, I, you know, a Lego kit, once it loses a couple key pieces, is basically worthless, right? But then you got to let the kids play, right? So for me personally, you know, I've never been like Craggle type guy, like let's super. Actually, one of the things, it's kind of funny, one of the kits that Heather got recently, some of the stuff was super glued together. And so it's like the police SWAT trailer type thing, you know, and it's all fucking glued together. Like, and like the one door didn't even open, so before we got there, the door was like all ripped and broken because they glued the top of the door so it couldn't pivot, and trying to get in there and pry stuff apart and whatnot.
Well, but you use nail polish remover and things like that, and
I don't know. I mean, for super glue?
Yeah, doesn't it?
Nail polish remover doesn't take off super glue, I'm pretty sure. If it does, that's a revelation to me. I know in the movie they had, like, some kind of goo.
Maybe it's mineral oil, something. There is some way to
I'll give it a try. Glue. I actually have mineral oil for, you know, cleaning my brushes when I do polyurethane and things like that. I can give that a try and take that apart. Heather's got so much great stuff, like the X-Wing fighter. She got that for $2.
Yeah, I know.
It was missing one of the wing pieces, but she had got another kit that was had the wing piece. You know, it wasn't X-Wing fighter; it was an airplane kit, right? But yeah, she got some really cool stuff, and so like this set, you know, it's the Lego City police. I think it was probably a bigger set because I think part of it's a bank and some robbers and, you know, like, but it's like kind of like that SWAT trailer, you know, like the semi rig with the back part and garbage truck. We got the city garbage truck, which we're missing a few amount of pieces for. I don't think I'm ever gonna get the garbage truck put together without having to get super lucky or, you know, try to buy. Lego has a part of their website called Pick a Brick, and you can order some individuals. But they don't have too many custom molds, right? Like the side of the garbage truck or the, you know, stuff like that. It's like, but if you want, like, if you want 50, you know, 2x1 gray bricks, you can order those up, right? You know, those kinds of things you can order up. No problem.
And they do that for people who are doing what Will Ferrell did in the movie, who are, you know, making it, turning the Legos into real projects and things like that.
That was just looking at the setup. It's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. But, you know, the Legos are not cheap. You know, the money you have to put into anything close. I mean, just the storage cabinet. Like, I watched it twice, And, you know, when he's on the scene where he is there and Emmett's on the table and he has all those bins, mm-hmm. of, you know, it's like just doing those bins would cost $1,000 or thousands of dollars, you know? It's like,
well, I mean,
yeah,
people put their money into Stranger Things, so.
I love the very last scene. It's like, you just, you know, now that your little sister's going to have to play in here too.
And, and the Duplos come, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I love the movie. If yeah. I didn't spoil it for you, you need to watch the Lego movie. It comes out on DVD like the 14th of June or something mm-hmm. like that.
Really, really good. Really, I mean, and the weird thing was like for the first 20 minutes, I was like, why is everybody, this movie isn't that great. I mean, the first 20 minutes, like this is, I don't see why this is, mm-hmm. why everybody's going crazy about how awesome this is. And then it just sort of kicks
in. I mean, there's some scenes early on, like when he's reading the instruction manual on how to wake yeah. up and stuff like that. That was pretty cool. I like that, you know, like. Greg's checking his phone. Sorry for the dead air.
Yeah, no, go on.
You know, I really liked how the instruction manuals, you know, like wake up, you know, get dressed, and you know, I thought it was really well done. And again, some of the pieces when he was trying on different clothes were pieces Lego kids, you know, people my age specifically. Mm-hmm. I carpool with a guy, you know, his kids are just starting college, just getting out of high school, so he's probably 10 years, 12 years. 14 years ahead of me, right? He never really was into Legos or whatnot. And I was trying to talk to him, and, you know, it was a miss for him, right? But, you know, for me, you know, I had these, many of these Legos. You know, Legos was, I wouldn't say it was a huge part. My kids have many more Legos than I ever had. But it was, I spent a lot of hours, you know, building stuff with Legos and messing with Legos. As a kid, I probably had maybe 1,000 Lego bricks or so.
I remember building with my friend, building spaceships. We played with them into our early teens, mm-hmm. Building like big spaceships and then throwing them against the wall. That was the thing we did because when you threw them against the wall, they would just fall apart. Mm-hmm. There's something about the way the shock hits; they completely mm-hmm. all yeah. the bricks just yeah. and so that was really fun to build these big things and just watch them get destroyed.
I don't know. Maybe today I'm a little more creative. I can imagine how to use pieces, right? But like. Build a house, right? You're going to use all bricks. It's going to be mostly solid. But if you look at the Lego kits, they're not solid. They're cut away, you mm-hmm. know, and they're accessible so you can play in them. I'm not sure I ever got to that level. But one thing I did get to, I showed you upstairs a couple miniature kits, right? There was that Naboo Starfighter mm-hmm. and Sebulba's Pod Racer, you know, the Star Wars ones. There was a point where I was building miniatures like that, not for the minifigures, but I was building fighter planes that mm-hmm. were, you know, about this big, about 6 inches long, things like that, you know, where the cockpit would just be one or two pegs, you know, that kind of thing. So that was probably where I was at my best, building Legos, building those miniature things.
I was Benny. I was building spaceships.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. And have laser guns and all types of kind yeah. of stuff. And
I had a lot of those. I had a lot of the round bricks, you know, the 4x, the mm-hmm. 2x2 round bricks, you know, and the rocket flares and the nose cones because I had a lot of space yeah. stuff. Wings. And I know there was the kid I had the monorail piece, you know, so you could get from the rocket pad to the control center and stuff like that. So it was kind of like...
Mine weren't functional. I didn't, you know, I stopped playing with them, you know, before they turned into the robot ones and the things you could do.
Yeah, this was just, you know, there was a rocket pad, there was the moon base, and then between it, it was probably only this long. It seemed like I had a ton of them, right? But it was probably only 12 inches long. And there was a little car. And so it was just a brick rail, and there was one with the holes in it so they could be pinned together. Then there was a plate that goes on top that was just kind of zigzaggy. So when you push the little car across, it would go bzzz, you know. So the monorail wasn't that awesome. It wasn't maglev or anything like that.
Love to see a maglev Lego set.
Yeah. They actually, Heather was at Target or Walmart, I'm not sure which store it was, the other day in the Lego section. And they have a whole bunch of kits for the Lego movie. So they have Wild Styles motorcycle. They have the ice cream mm-hmm. truck airplane. They have the one that, you know, was eating all the what do they call the robots? The
micromanagers.
Micromanagers, yeah.
Okay, so this is a slightly different topic. I had said, have you heard about the Reading Rainbow Kickstarter?
Yeah, no, not at all.
I figured that'd be something that you would really be interested in because your kids are, I mean, Natalie is now at really reading age and, and Max will be eventually. And so there is an app already available for iPad, but they, LeVar Burton and company decided to do a Kickstarter to try to fund a web version. So it's not just available on iPad, it's available, everywhere. Okay. And to be free and, to give it free to schools. Because there is like a subscription if you get the app, but they want to give it free to schools or to some schools.
Okay.
They wanted $1 million. Within 11 hours, they had gotten $1 million.
Nice.
It's been 3 days. They are now at 3.15 million.
71,000 and 7 backers.
Yeah. This number, I mean, especially on the first day, you watch this, it was just boom, 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 boom. It was just going like crazy. Their stretch goal is 5 million. Don't doubt they'll reach
it. Wait, it just ticked up one backer, and it jumped up like $100,000.
People are spending money on this.
Or at least jumped up
$20,000. It could have, yeah.
But, yeah. Because it auto-refreshes here. And, the backers went up by one, and it jumped up at least $20,000, if not close to $100,000.
I mean, people are spending money on this because
it's good.
It's good. It is a really good thing, and so happy to see it.
It just jumped up 3 more backers and didn't jump up nearly as much money.
No, but not everybody's going to have $100,000 or $10,000 to spend. But so that people are doing it is mm-hmm. great, and people are still continuing to do it.
So, what is the Kickstarter providing?
So, they're definitely going to make Reading Rainbow on the web and free access for 1,500 classrooms. When they reach 5 million, they're going to get it on mobile, Android, consoles, Apple TV, etc.
Is that free for everywhere then?
It's not free. Oh, okay. The app is available, but I think you still need a subscription to the app.
I see.
And then, but there is free access in classrooms for 7,500. Classrooms.
Okay.
And they'll just keep going, more and more and more. I mean, obviously they can't just give everything away for free because there's book rights and there's, producing costs and all the stuff. But they want to build apps so, kids can get it on any platform and they can keep doing the stuff that they're doing. And, I think it's great. And as soon as I get money, I'm going to, I don't know how much. Not a lot. I'm not going to be one of the big donors, but I'm going to put some money into it.
Not going to put $1,000 in?
No.
$10,000?
No.
$100,000?
No.
Million?
Yes. I mean, no.
Okay.
No, I'll throw my records at $5 in, but I mean, because I think it's a good cause.
I don't have much recollection. I mean, remember the theme song, but
I was not a huge Reading Rainbow fan, but it clearly gets kids reading. And I mean,
I was more of a Picture Pages type kid. Is there a Picture Pages Kickstarter?
I don't know. I don't.
Bill Cosby in charge of it? No. I remember, I don't think it was very long, but my mom did subscribe to Picture Pages for me for a little bit. But I didn't get the awesome pen. You know how the pen guy was?
No, I don't. I've never seen it.
Search for Picture Pages and you'll see the pen, I'm sure. It was a felt tip marker, but it had, how like microphones have the badges, where they do things. This pen had kind of a face on the top of it type thing. And it, on the show, the pen made music when it drew, right? Type stuff. So when I got my Picture Pages and I didn't get the pen that made music when I drew, I was kind of like, what the fuck is this?
It's like all those people complaining at the Guess Who game and the cards didn't talk. But, you know, I think this is as good a cause as any that you'll find on Kickstarter. I mean, there are some other Kickstarter things I think are cool. Like there's a sous vide machine that I'm, you know, kind of interested in. And, you know, the Peggle watches. Is it Peggle? Pebble?
Pebble
watches. Okay. And, you know, there are some cool things, but this is one of those things that I think that, it's just sort of, it's compelling me to really want to just, you know, donate $5.
So I don't recall exactly, but I think that's what the Picture Pages pen looked like. The little purple, yellow striped guy.
Wow. That's weird.
That's what Google seems to infer that he looks like. I didn't remember him being purple and yellow, but
look at the popular Kickstarters.
Is that a new segment? Pick your favorite Kickstarter?
So let's actually look at the most funded. Let's do that. Okay. So the Pebble is the most funded.
I thought the Pebble was like out.
This includes ever. So ever, the Pebble got $10 million. Ouya, which is a game console, is 8.5.
How'd you get the most funded? Where's that at?
If you go to Explore.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll see it eventually. Lots of games. So the first truly consumer 3D printer got $3.4 million. But so here's Reading Rainbow. It's still up there. It's within the top 20 or something like that. There's some cool stuff on here. There's some stuff that's...
So is the Ouya video game console any good?
I don't know. I don't know if it's even been released yet. Right?
Yeah, it's got $8.5 million. It was funded on August 9th, 2012. The Veronica Mars movie was one of the top ones.
Right. That's out.
Yeah.
Lots of games. Lots of games. And then just cool kind of tech shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Three Doodlers on here. I wonder if that thing got... I guess it got made. It made $2.3 million. That was pretty neat. That was a polymer pen, like almost like a glue gun, right? But the way it worked is you could doodle in the air, and it would spit out polymer and dry where it would actually stand up. So you could just doodle in the air. But imagine how a glue gun extruder works, right?
So I read about it. I mean, I don't know what... I don't know what I'd use it for. You know, sculptures I could see it being cool for. Yeah. This smartphone-controlled paper airplane thing I always thought was cool. It's not out yet, but what they have is they, you know, paper airplane, but then they have a Bluetooth thing on there which has an engine, engine and some, I guess, airfoil or something, so that you can actually fly a paper airplane with your iPhone. It's a cool idea, and it's
I didn't know the Oculus Rift was a...
Yeah.
Kickstarter.
And now it's bought by Facebook. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Speaking of web things, probably the last thing we should do.
Say it isn't so.
Say it isn't so. It's time for Amazon Anonymous. Thank you to everybody who has participated.
Especially the people that spent lots of money.
Especially those people, but everybody has participated, really. I mean, come on. I'm going to look at the last 7 days' earnings report. Wow, someone bought a lot of cooking stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thank you to whoever did that. And let me pick... I'll pick one of those. Why not? Because somebody decided to. All right. So my pick is the Cuisinart... Ooh, they look good. Cuisinart 7-11G Chef's Classic Stainless 11-Piece Cookware Set. This has a sauté pan. It has a colander. It has all the stuff you would need to have a nice cookware set. Looks good. Saucepan, sauté pan, stock pot, skillet... Steamer insert. Looks good. Good stuff. Cuisinart's good brand.
Cool. I am looking at a couple of different items here. I think I'm going to go with the Boston Red Sox 2004 World Series roster shirt. New, extra large. That's part of the reason I picked it, so Greg would choke. We have the Boston Red Sox 2004.
Well, 2004 World is when the Yankees really choked.
2004 World Series roster, new shirt, extra large, $16.99. Partially because it's interesting, someone's buying a 2004.
That was a great year for the Red Sox. There's no question about it.
Partially another reason I mentioned it is because I didn't realize you could buy old championship t-shirts, but that's what the internet is for. I need to find me a 1991 Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup championship shirt, because mine is long gone.
If I were to buy a Yankees shirt, then the Yankees shirt that I would want the most is probably 98. That was my favorite of the Yankees teams. So it was also, one of the best teams ever.
And another reason I picked this is because there's no reviews, so I don't have to read a review for Greg.
Fair enough. I think that ends our post show. Unless you have other things?
I think we're probably pretty good.
All right.
That's it.
All right.
Wrap this shit up.
Thank y'all for listening. We hope you've had a enjoyable experience.
You got Ice Ice Baby up there still? No?
I can pull it up. Hold on a second.
I want to see if
the
I can
instrumental get, version?
Yeah, I want to see if I can get the syllables better on this again.
All right. Pulling it up.
Oh, yeah. VIP. Kick it.
Under pressure.
Welcome to Craft Beer Radio. Lost it. Can't read my scribbles. We're here with a brand new beer show. Something.
Let me try it.
Oh, I didn't write it clear enough for anyone to read but me.
Let's see.
It's a messy bullshit.
I'll see if I can do it.
Okay. You can't read it. It's welcome to a brand new beer show. Something we're drinking tonight.
Craft Beer Radio. We're here with a brand new beer show. Something weird drives me rightly. Imperial IPA is just like 10 years ago. Will we ever stop? I don't know.
Turn up the lights and I'll glow. Actually, start it up. I want to see if I can do the real lyrics here. Let's see if I remember them.
Okay. I'll do the...
Stop. Clever. Okay. Sorry. Stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with a brand new edition. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flows like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn out the lights and I'll glow. Something
like, to the extreme
like a
rock the mic like a vandal.
Something candle.
Let me see if I remember this one. Okay. All right. Oh, damn it. All right, stop. Grab a table and a menu. Ice is back in an oriental venue. Hungry for a little chop suey. I want Chinese, not Hong Kong fooey. You know what you want, yo. Can't decide. Column A, column B, I like fried. Barbecued chicken. Kung Pao chicken. Spicy.
Under
hot
pressure.
Hot like a stir fry.
Falling down on me. Falling down on you.
There was a Rice Baby parody out there that was out there for a while.
Under pressure. All right, that's enough crazy bullshit for Craft Beer Radio Post Show.
Thank you for listening.